This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary 6B. We're dealing with the fifth grade of hierarchy, and we're on page 1204. So the members of this fifth grade of hierarchy are called the Hearts of Fiery Love, because they are the great exemplars of the at-one-ing principle. The rays, I think, generically are very much the second and the fifth ray, a lot like Venus. So, generically, the rays 2 and 5, much like Venus and like Sirius. They save through love. Now, obviously, you know, we are not talking about the crocodiles or the lower part of the fifth grade of hierarchy, the kind which demands of the jiva reincarnation because of inadequacy, inadequate achievement. So they save through love, and I suppose regardless of the ray, they save through love. Now, the question is, are they keyed to different rays? Do solar angels of a certain type, are they called in because the sub-ray of the monad, a sub-ray of the monad on the monadic plane is of a particular ray, meaning that the permanent atoms within the spiritual triad are of a particular ray. So see Esoteric Psychology 1, page 168 and 169, you'll see that interesting thing about the equivalence of rays in the spiritual triad. And so are they called in a way to correspond to those rays, or do they have the capacity to change ray? That's the question. Do these solar angels have a capacity to change ray, or is their ray correlated with the triadal ray of the spiritual triad of the human monad? But does it not make any difference what ray they're on? You know, is the solar angel... It seemed to me there would have to be some kind of correlation, because the solar angels will come in, you know, 7 horizontal varieties, just like any other members of a creative hierarchy. They have to have... We have to be conditioned by the 7 divisions, or the 7 aspects of the one. And so, but the generic quality is of illumination and love. And so they cultivate in man various rays, especially on the soul level. Because the soul body is in a way of the same ray nature as the monastic ray of the monastic permanent atom, but the monastic permanent atom is of the same ray as all the other permanent atoms of the spiritual triad. So maybe there's a correlation there with the kind of solar angel that's called in, but what do you do when there's a change of rays? Do the solar angels have the capacity to modulate their ray? Can they work on any ray, as it were? And why a particular solar angel with a particular human monad? What created that relationship? You know, you have to think that this solar angel is very intimate to that particular human monad, having traveled with it for, you know, now some 21 million years for those who have been individualized on Earth, and, well, maybe a shorter time for those who came in from the moon chain and then probably had a solar angel, as it were, attach itself to the manifestation of their egoic lotus, which had already unfolded some petals on the moon chain. And, you know, I don't think DK talks about that attachment, but I find that it must be necessary, because so many of the higher types of disciples came from the moon chain, or disciples in general, with some petals unfolded, and yet there was no solar angelic activity operating on the moon chain, and yet they now have solar angels, because DK talks to them about all these advanced subjects as if they have solar angels. So there must have been a time when attachment occurred. They save through love, and in their turn, these lives are peculiarly close to the great heart of love of the solar logos. So what is this heart of love? Is it the heart of the sun, or the soul nature of the solar logos, which itself is informed by a cosmic solar angel? Or is it the heart center of the solar logos, as it expresses on the cosmic etheric planes, and I think especially on the monadic plane? Well, the solar angels are close to the monads in many ways. The solar angels are serving the monads on the systemic monadic plane. The system, S-Y, systemic. well, we'll just let it go. Systemic monadic plane. Well, the heart of love of the great solar logos, you know, sometimes we talk about the subjective sun having to do with the astral quality of the solar logos, and the heart of the sun with the soul quality, and the central spiritual sun with the monadic quality. You can see it's a pretty great thing to become a solar angel, and because we have a planet whose soul nature is the second ray, it may be that quite a few of the human beings, he calls it the bulk of the human beings on our planet, will become solar angels traveling to Sirius to do so. Who knows how long that travel occurs, but and whether they have to, in a way, return to our solar logos before the solar logos goes into Pralaya. It's hard to say, but they will be breathed out again from the heart of the sun in the next solar system, and will be redeemers. So maybe, you know, the bulk, 80% maybe, it's a guess, but I'm thinking of those who are not yet really mentally polarized humanity and will need that monastic stimulation. I'm thinking of some 80-85% will travel to Sirius to become whatever one becomes there, but it seems that solar angels are one of the things that one can become. These great redeeming angels, who are the sons of men on their own true plane, the mental, are ever therefore pictured as taking the form of 12-petaled lotuses, and this symbology linking them with the sun of divine love, the manifested solar system. So the solar logos manifesting in the solar system, or maybe I should say in, or maybe as the solar system, is psychically seen as a 12-petaled lotus. A blue lotus, I think. And the 12 petals have a number of chains and globes all associated with them. Every one of those 12 petals is, in a way, a kind of a major planetary scheme, the 7 plus the 5. They are great redeeming angels, you know. They correct what has gone before. They correct the abuses of the third aspect of divinity, who are the sons of men on their own true plane. You know, they are and they are not. They are not the same monads, although all monads are one. But they so substand the vehicle of the monad on the higher mental plane, i.e. the egoic lotus, that it is as if part of their identity is merged with the identity of man on that man, the monad, on that same plane. So they so substand the vehicle of the monad on the higher mental plane, that is the egoic lotus, that it is as if part of their identity or their identity is merged with the identity of man, the monad, on that same plane. Who are the sons of men? They are these great redeeming angels who are the sons of men on their own two plane, the mental. Well, a caveat here, their own true plane of service. Perhaps their own true plane is really higher than the mental. It seems to me it is, because the mental plane is in the dense physical body of the solar logos, the higher mental plane is, and the lower mental plane is within the dense physical body of the planetary logos. And a second fall has been required. So given where the solar angels have traveled, or given where the graduate men of the previous solar system have traveled to become solar angels, we cannot say that their own true plane is really a lower plane, but we can say that their own true plane of service is a lower plane, and that is the mental plane. Or the higher mental plane. Although, you know, again, who is it that lives on the lower mental plane? What are they really called? Are they solar angels, or are they simply lower parts of the fifth creative hierarchy that should not be called solar angels, but maybe mental elementals? And they are ever, therefore, pictured as taking the form of 12-petaled lotuses, so they are golden hearts in a way. So much of the second ray, and we can see, I say, what a great thing it is, actually, to become a solar angel on that mysterious path, path to Sirius. And so they are linked up with the Sun of Divine Love. They are breathed out from the Sun of Divine Love. If it's the heart of the Sun, perhaps. But from another point of view, the Sun of Divine Love can be considered the solar system. So the, let's say, the Sun of Divine Love, which is the manifested solar system, is derives from the soul nature of the solar logos, which is the heart of the sun. Also, perhaps, a 12-petaled lotus, but possibly a lotus of 21 petals, as he sometimes discusses. It depends on the context. All right, so derives, right, which is said to be a cosmic 12-petal lotus, this solar system, and which is said to be, I mean, I wonder from what plane, do you have to see it, to see that 12? From what plane does the seer have to see the 12-petaled lotus? With and with the okay, well, here we go. And with the logoic causal lotus, equally of 12-petaled nature. So here, as I stated, the egoic lotus of the Well, let's just keep it lower. Egoic lotus of the solar logos is 12-petaled, except when it is discussed as 21-petaled. I wonder if I can find that. I wonder if I can find that. Something like 21 petals. Uh-huh. Maybe not there. Maybe seven tiers logos. Seven tiers. Let's see. Okay, here we have an underlined or a highlighted section coming from later. I probably already dealt with this in my written commentaries, but the energy centers of a solar logos are themselves in the form of vast lotuses or wheels, at the center of which lies hidden that central cosmic life we call a planetary logos. So the planetary logos sponsors lotuses or expresses as lotuses. He is the meeting place for two types of force, spiritual or logoic, which reaches him via the logoic lotus on the cosmic mental plane from the seven rishis of the Great Bear. Okay, well, that is an interesting thing, and we have quoted it before, but let's just see here. A solar logos has for his energy centers the planetary scheme, each of which embodies a peculiar type of energy, and each of which therefore vibrates to the key, and notice that, of the logoic solar angel. Must have been some kind of intervention which occurred, right? Of which the human solar angel is a dim reflection, and maybe an emanation. It is interesting here to note that the human solar angel is a unity, manifesting through three tiers of petals. The logoic correspondence is even more interesting, for that great cosmic entity demonstrates on the cosmic mental plane as a triple flame working through seven tiers of petals. And the tiers usually have three, at least I'm assuming so. And it is the energy from these seven circles of energy which pulsates through the medium of any scheme. All this is hidden in the mystery of the one about whom naught may be said, and it is not possible for men to solve it, the truth being obscure even to the highest Daihan Chohan of our system, meaning obscure to the planetary logoi, as far as I can understand. Somehow, the Tibetan's mind is aware of these things and gives us a vast vista. So is it the solar angel itself which is manifesting as a seven-tiered being with a triple flame? And perhaps the egoic lotus of the solar logos is 12-fold? I don't know, you know, and obviously, well, let's copy that from 1161, from TCF 1161, and we'll make that green for the moment. Green is my favorite color. I don't like green too much, actually. But for the moment, it helps in this text. The human solar angel is a unity. So maybe something is interesting here. Maybe we are talking about the actual cosmic solar angel, and not about the egoic lotus of the solar logos, which appears to be 12-petaled. But perhaps the solar angel is 21-petaled. I can't imagine a circle of petals, which doesn't have three. I mean, it would have to reflect, I think, the three aspects of divinity. So I believe we have 21. And finally, with the three flames of the cosmic solar angel, we would have the number 24, which is a which is the number of Shambhala. And also, in a way, of the solar logos, whose personality and soul are the two, and whose lesser monad is the four, hypothetically, at least. I think I know Stephen Pugh believes that it is a fourth ray monad, and he's reasoned well about it, and I think it, you know, probably could well be, but as I've said, you know, we can't leave any of these great beings with the monad and one of the rays of attribute. We have to also think of the higher monadic ray, just as the human being has seven monadic rays, but also a higher monadic ray, I think, of rays one, two, or three, of which any of the seven monadic rays can be considered to be sub-rays. So we have, therefore, a direct flow of energy through the logoic 12-petaled egoic lotus. Well, there's just no no question. We probably have been given a structural hint about the manifesting nature of the cosmic solar angel on the cosmic mental plane. But the egoic lotus of the solar logos is 12-petaled. And I don't think I've been able to solve that, you know, until this moment. I'm not saying it's solved, but at least it has the sense of being, of contributing to understanding. See, we'd have to ask, what does our solar angel look like when it is not investing itself in our solar logos? Well, in our egoic lotus. Our egoic lotus is 12-petaled. And as far as we know, our solar angel can look like an angelic existence, or it can look like a wheel with nine spokes, or it can look like a lotus. The number 12 does seem to be involved with it. Let's see if I... is it nine spokes or 12 spokes for how the solar angel appears? Nine spokes. Of these 12 petals, the inmost three are unrevealed or embryonic. Hence, the causal body is frequently considered as a nine-petal lotus, or as a wheel of fire with nine spokes. Is there anything further? The nine spokes rotating with intense rapidity. Nine spokes. Let's see. I think in initiation, human and solar, there is angelic. And, well, I don't know. Maybe that's it. As a radiant angelic existence, that's one of the ways the solar angel appears. And this is seen by the inner eye with the same accuracy of vision and judgment as when a man stands face to face with another member of the human family. So these are real things we're talking about. The great solar angel, the greatest one of the several emanations that may be producing our egoic lotus, who embodied the real man, embodies the real man on the higher mental plane, real enough, and is his expression on the plane of higher mind, because the man is the monad. And the body of the monad on the higher mental plane is the egoic lotus. He is literally his divine ancestor, the watcher, who through long cycles of incarnation has poured himself out in sacrifice in order that what we call man might be. You know, we see as a sphere of radiant fire. That's another way of looking at the solar angel. This is all 115 and 116 of Initiation Human Solar. A magnetic thread of magnetic thread of fire passes through all his bodies and terminates within the center of the physical brain. How interesting. So the members of the fifth grade of hierarchy do, in a way, extend their energy all the way down into the dense physical levels. The four lower hierarchies are involved with the dense physical levels. The silver thread emanates from the heart center of the solar angel, linking thus the heart and brain. Amazing. That great duality manifesting in the solar system, love and intelligence. Let's see if we're going to get any 12 out of this. Here is a nine-petaled lotus. These petals are arranged in three circles around a central set of three closely folded petals, which shield what is called in Eastern books the jewel and the lotus. It may be, I think once before I learned that the solar angels had somehow drawn down the Buddhic energy to create the three inmost petals. As for the jewel and the lotus, they didn't create it. It was the extension of the monad, which itself is a jewel in the crown. This lotus is a thing of rare beauty, pulsating with life and radiant with all the colors of the rainbow. And at the first three initiations, the three circles are revealed in order. That's one place where it is said in a general sense. But elsewhere, there's a little more delineation given about the unfolding of the petals. Until at the fourth initiation, the initiate stands before a still greater revelation and learns the secret of that which lies within the central bud, that is, the monad, the jewel, and the lotus. In this connection, the third initiation differs somewhat from the other two, inasmuch as through the power of a still more exalted hierophant than the bodhisattva, the electrical fire of pure spirit, latent in the heart of the lotus, is first contacted. So in these words, solar angel, sphere of fire, and lotus lies hid some aspect of the central mystery of human life. But it will only be apparent to those who have eyes to see. We have to become those who have eyes to see. So the question is, apart from the egoic lotus which it substands, what does the solar angel really look like? So I want to say that apart from the egoic lotus which it substands, what really is the appearance of the solar angel in its own right? And here we've learned of a nine-petaled lotus, and the question is, to what extent is it a 12-petaled lotus? To what extent does it include the Buddhic petals? I have a reference here about how the Buddhi is drawn down to create those petals. It's not so much created out of mental substance, or at least the power of Buddhi is substanding mental substance in the creation of those inmost petals. So there is, now we're going to, you know, see a descending of 12, really. The logoic 12-petaled egoic lotus, cosmic mental plane, it's 12-petaled, even if the solar angel somehow is manifesting in 21 petals, a cosmic solar angel. The solar 12-petaled 12-petaled lotus. Now, this is, we could say, this has to do with the solar system. The planetary logoic heart, also a 12-petaled lotus. Now, where is this solar 12-petaled lotus? Is this on the monadic plane? That's a question. And what about the planetary logoic heart? Also a 12-petaled lotus in some way, now I'm not sure about the location, in some way, is this on the Buddhic plane or the Atmic? I know it sounds strange, but if we start moving down by one plane each and give the solar logos more of a province on the logoic plane, then we have to give the planetary logos more a province on the monadic plane, and then one plane below it, the atmic plane, would be the second as we descend. Well, we seem to be, the logoic 12-petal lotus is on the cosmic mental plane, but the solar 12-petal lotus has to be on the cosmic physical plane, and so must the planetary logoic heart. Logoic 12-petal lotus, we're talking about the solar logos, and the solar 12-petal lotus is not considered causal. This 12-petaled lotus is not considered causal, because, you know, the planetary 12-petaled egoic lotus is also found on the cosmic mental plane, but now we have descended onto the cosmic physical plane, and the planetary logoic heart is also a 12-petaled lotus, and the solar logoic heart center. So this seems like the solar logoic heart center on the cosmic physical plane. On what plane is this? I tend to think of the monadic, given the analogies in chart 8. Then the planetary logoic heart center, is it true that all planetary, I just thought of something. Well, you know, man is a better analogy to the solar logos than to the planetary logos. Is it possible that the heart centers of the solar logos and the planetary logos are on different planes, and are the centers of the planetary logos on lower planes, and does the Buddhic plane house, it's not a good word, but you get the idea, house all of the centers of the planetary, all of the cosmic etheric centers of the planetary logos. In other words, when we look at this map, I'll show you the map I mean, and I've been over this with you a number of times, and keep on trying to prove it to myself. Notice how, let's say, head center, heart center, throat center are found on three different ethers. Head center, heart center, throat center, three different ethers, right? So this is for man. So is the direct analogy to the solar logos, where head center will be found here, heart center on the monadic plane, throat center on the spiritual plane. So the heart center will be on the monadic plane. But what, for the solar logos, maybe there's a direct analogy, but what happens if we take the planetary logos and begin more from a monadic level, down one plane, as it were? Would this be the head, the heart, and the throat? And would the lesser centers somehow be found on the higher mental plane? I mean, this is something that has a certain structural appeal, but I cannot say that it is necessarily so. We know there are centers of these great beings on the Buddhic plane. But if we follow the way the human centers are distributed over the four ethers, we see they're not all on the fourth ether. They are spread out over the higher ethers. Now, I would think that the centers of the solar logos would also be spread out over the higher ethers. Head, like we have head center and ajna center up here, heart center on the monadic plane of the solar logos, and throat center on the spiritual plane, and the other centers on the intuitional plane. But maybe everything moves down a step for the planetary logos, because it is a kind of being who is, in a way, down a step from the solar logos. Well, different references have to be put together, and the day will come maybe when we can observe this. From that point of view, then, the lowest ether for the planetary logos would not be the Buddhic plane, but would be the higher mental plane. And there are groupings on the higher mental plane which might correspond to chakras of the planetary logos. And I just begin to think about the way the different chains would have their place on these different planes. Different chains on different planes. Okay, different chains as chakras of the planetary logos on different planes. And then globes on the subplanes, on the subplanes. Well, all of that would be a most intricate map. Somewhere he talks about the tracery of the great serpent and how this has to be seen. You know, it has diamonds on its back, I suppose. And just think about the diamondback rattler. You know, it's kind of a lower correspondence. This great serpent has tracery on its back, maybe diamonds. I remember my friend Keith once worked that out and made quite a brilliant representation of the great serpent that DK talks about. I mean, I can't say, you know, whether it's right or wrong, it's beyond me, but at least it was really a very good attempt and maybe very accurate. Then there's the 12-petaled human egoic lotus on the mental plane. We certainly are descending. We are descending by 12s. By 12s through numerical, what I call numerical resonance. When two numbers are alike, they indicate a line of communication. Two numbers alike, though on different levels, indicate lines of communication. And finally, the 12-petaled heart center in a human being. And notice that this is on, I just got to say it, this is on the second systemic. Oh, come on. There must be a, I have to have SY synthesis. SYC, SYT, SYSC, systemic. Well, how about that? You know, it's not the best, but it will have to do. I know I must have had a systemic here somewhere. Systemic, SYST, that's it. This on the second systemic, okay. This on the second systemic ether. That's where the heart center is. So when you feel your heart activation, you're really feeling the second systemic ether, or maybe correlated with the second astral ether, and then correlated with the egoic lotus on the second plane, especially the love petals of the egoic lotus. That is a big question about the structure of the egoic lotus. You know, if it's located on after initiation on the second subplane of the mental plane, how is it that the jewel in the lotus has its place on the highest subplane between that and the Buddhic plane? It's kind of a monadic location. It's almost as if, in a way, the jewel in the lotus is not provided by the solar angels at all, and it's just the place of location of the central fire coming from the monad with seven facets to that jewel. Okay, so, or to word it otherwise, energy flows directly from the solar logos via three cosmic centers. The central spiritual sun, the heart of the sun, this is really wording it otherwise, and it's different, the heart of the sun, the physical sun. So this is an expanded view, because we didn't have the central spiritual sun above. So let's take a look at that. This is the expanded and elaborated point of view. If we look at it here, we started with the logoic 12-petaled egoic lotus. That's not the central spiritual sun. The central spiritual sun in this context is the monad, sorry, of the solar logos. The heart of the sun, the egoic lotus of the solar logos. The physical sun, well, sometimes, you know, it's been called by many things, but sometimes the base of spine center of the solar logos. It's been called that. But it certainly represents the physicality, both etheric and dense, of the solar logos. So energy flows from, so the solar logos, but and then the heart center of the planetary logos, and I'm not saying, it says it's situated on the fourth cosmic etheric plane, our Buddhic plane. Now, there's no question he does say that. So what I'm beginning to understand is perhaps there is a difference between the location of the heart center of the solar logos within the cosmic ethers and the heart center of the planetary logos. I have not sometimes taken into consideration that these two should be separated and that the heart center of our planetary logos really should be on a lower plane. However, I'm really stuck when it comes to looking at that map and its hints, chart number 8, which is really suggesting that on the second subplane, the human heart center is found, second etheric subplane, and why not for the solar logos, with whom there is more of a direct analogy? Why not? So until further enlightened on the subject, I will just have to entertain that hypothesis. The egoic lotus of a human being on the mental plane. So from the physical sun, we have an etheric outflow. And this etheric outflow can touch the Buddhic plane, where the heart center of the planetary logos is found. Now, I've often drawn that analogy, and I said, well, look at chart number 8, but I may not have done correctly is say that that should be for the solar logos, and the planetary logos has a different way of locating its chakras in the cosmic ethers, and even, as I say, on the higher mental plane. Everything moves down one step. Vibration, light, sound, color. Vibration begins for the solar logos on the logoic plane. Vibration for the planetary logos on the monadic plane. Vibration for X, we don't know. Is it a chain lord? On the atomic plane. Vibration for man, the quality of vibration begins on the Buddhic plane. And, you know, what is lower than man, and maybe we could continue to descend, but if we start on the Buddhic plane, we have just enough planes for vibration, light, sound, and color. So it is being impressed upon me with a new authority that I really have to reckon with this idea that the heart center of the planetary logos is situated on the fourth cosmic etheric plane. Does that mean... Does this mean that all the chakras of the planetary logos are on that plane, or is the head center on the atmic plane? And are there lesser centers on the higher mental plane? I don't think we have an exact analogy. I think, you know, the analogy between the planetary logos and the man is really less exact than that between the man and the solar logos and man. At least, you know, reading Cosmic Fire, where he's always comparing solar logoi to planetary logoi to men to atoms, all of them being atoms, in a way, the analogies between the solar logos and the man seem very exact. And not so much so the planetary logos and the man, for whatever reason. The egoic lotus of the human being on the mental plane, which is literally a correspondence to the heart of the sun, and that's a very important hint, So in case we have not understood what the heart of the sun, in case we have not understood what the heart of the, what the solar logoic heart of the sun really is, here we have it. And the monadic point, every being really is a point, I've emphasized that, that every being is a point, is a reflection in the human system of the central spiritual sun, which is the solar logoic monad. Also Alcyone, you know, the central spiritual sun can, from a supercosmic perspective, can be considered the Pleiades or Alcyone within the Pleiades. I would say Alcyone is too small, but I'd say the entire Pleiades as a representation of the central spiritual sun or the vehicle of the monad of the one about whom not may be said, I think is quite convincing. So we've had these descents through 12, and we've related them to the solar angels. Let's just say the solar angels are involved in these descents through 12. The solar angels providing a 12-fold structure for man by using divine intervention. The heart center of the man on the etheric plane of the physical plane, which is in its turn a correspondence to the physical sun. It's almost as if the physical physical sun is etheric in its nature. Are we witnessing a great etheric phenomenon or something in between gas and ether, some kind of plasmic state? It says the etheric plane, but the chart 8 says something different. It says on the subatomic ether you will find the heart center, you will find the heart center of the human being. So let's watch with care where we find it. In a way, it makes sense that there should be a higher triad in the higher ethers. It makes sense. Right. All right, so, thus the tiny atom man is linked with the great central life of the solar system, and how? Linked through numerical resonance. The scent of energy through, in this case, 12s. This fifth hierarchy is equally, under the law, a distributor of energy to the fifth subplane of each plane in the system. Let's say it looks like even subplane, even the fifth subplane of planes higher than the fifth. Only it must be borne in mind that in the three worlds, it is the fifth subplane counting from above downward, whilst in the worlds of superhuman evolution, it is the fifth counting from below upwards. So that's a hint. The solar angels are connected with the atmic subplane, atmic subplane, the third from above, in relation to the worlds of superhuman evolution, the Buddhic plane and the atmic plane. So, excuse me, idealism in a pure Buddhic form is connected with the solar angels, and also, what's called all knowledge. How interesting. So, on how many of the cosmic etheric planes can the solar angels express? On more than the Buddhic plane. So the solar angels are somehow linked even with the atmic subplane of the systemic monadic plane. And can we say with the atmic subplane of the logoic plane? Can we really say that? It says that, what does it say? It's the distributor of energy to the fifth subplane of each plane in the system. Each plane. That's a hint as to the scope of expression of the solar angels. Let me put it this way. This being probable, the influential reach of the solar angels must be considerable. And since they have already been to the cosmic astral plane as monads on the way to Sirius, it must be that they have a wide influence on all planes of the cosmic physical plane. This is really something to consider. You know, now when you're reading all this stuff, I realize I've got a lot of red in between DK's actual words written in black. So sometimes when you read, you know, just read the black and forget the red. And then if you want some of my thoughts on the black, then go back to the red. I don't want you to have, you know, interrupted reading. This hierarchy wields, as we know, the dual aspect of Manus, one in the three worlds and one which makes itself felt in higher spheres. This is so clear. This is so clear. And for the lower aspect of Manus, the inverted pentagram is a symbol. And it points to the idea that these members of the Black Lodge have developed the concrete mind to extraordinary extent, and so that it has become an obstruction to the descent, the sort of Syrian descent, if I may, of higher Manus. So I think this is this is such an important statement and one which simplifies many things. This hierarchy wields, as we know, the dual aspect of Manus, one in the three worlds and one which makes itself felt in the higher spheres. So it is as if this hierarchy is part solar and part lunar, because the lower part of Manus is connected with the lunar lords. So maybe, I wonder, is there a mystery here with Sirius A and Sirius B? One being solar, perhaps, well, definitely solar, and the other, I'll just say perhaps, lunar, or relating to the death of the four lunar elementals and their elevation towards the throne of Sirius A. Maybe. Page 1206. It is necessary to bear in mind that all these groups are, even when termed formless, the true forms of all that persists, i.e., generally, cosmic etheric forms. For all are in the etheric body of the solar logos or planetary logos. And there may be a difference. There may be a difference. It may be that the higher mental plane is to be considered etheric when related to the planetary logos. Maybe. That's something I've been working on for a long time and wondering about this idea of everything moving down a step. We'll take the higher mental plane into an analogous relationship with the Buddhic plane. This is a point requiring careful emphasis. Students have for too long regarded the form as being the dense physical body, whereas to the occultist, the physical body is not a form, but a gross maya or illusion, and the true form is the body of vitality. Well, I think this is pretty clear. You know, we can say, what is the form of a force field? It can be, its form can be seen at the moment by its formal effects in the dense worlds. As I was, you know, seeing the other day that a certain tone, probably with its own visible etheric geometry, forces a certain configuration of powder or sand or movable tiny items within the dense physical worlds. Therefore, these hierarchies are the sum total of the vital lives and the substratum or the substance of all that is. All that is, all that appears physically. In other words, maybe there is no creative hierarchy which is specifically made of physical, dense matter. Maybe they are all etheric. All may be etheric, even if we have to descend and consider the systemic ethers and not just the cosmic ethers. So even if they work out in physical forms, their truer homes are on the cosmic ethers. And when we talk about the lunar lords, where is the home of that hierarchy? I can see very well with the baskets of nourishment that they have the place within the vital, systemic vital body, and certainly the solar angels, or the lower members even of the, well, the solar angels have a place within the cosmic vital body. What about the lower part of the fifth creative hierarchy? Do they have a place within the cosmic etheric body? Or, well, okay, here's something that we have to realize. What are ethers? And in a way, they are the energies of the higher four subplanes of any systemic plane. Okay. Systemic plane. So, you know, if we turn to the map again, these four are ethers here on the mental plane, and here on the astral plane, these four are astral ethers, and these four are physical ethers. They're all ethers. So, in a way, these lives, all lives can be, all of these hierarchies are considered etheric, but there are etheric portions of even the dense physical planes. So we don't necessarily know, you know, we know what the focus of some of these hierarchies may be, you know, maybe the mental plane, the astral plane, or the physical plane, but where is the life essence focused? Where is the also the monad of these lower hierarchies, the monad of man, is on the monadic plane, and the monad of the lower kingdoms, per se, is on the monadic plane. But where is the monad of the lower fifth creative hierarchy? Because it's possible to split a hierarchy such that the monads of the higher members are on one plane and the monads of the lower members may be on another. I can't see the monads of the lower part of the fifth creative hierarchy being on the cosmic astral plane, but I can certainly see the monads of the higher part of the fifth creative hierarchy being on the cosmic astral plane. But what about the monads of the lunar lords? Where are they found? Nothing is given on that. And where? What about the monads of the baskets of nourishment? Where are those monads found? Are they all on the monadic plane somehow of the, you know, cosmic physical plane? Maybe monads can only be on monadic planes. The monadic plane of the cosmic astral, monadic plane, second subplane of the cosmic mental, monadic plane of the cosmic buddhic, and so forth. Different entities having their monads on different monadic planes. Maybe that might be the case. Well, anyway, I think we have reached the point when I can say, what can I say? Is that it? Wait a second. What's wrong here? Okay. Looked like we had quite a gap there. Okay, there you go. All right, so this will be then the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 6B, page. I knew I was closer, wasn't I? Was it 1206? Well, 1205. And I think there's a 1206. Let me find. 1206. Yes, 1206. And that's where we are. Page 1206. And beginning of Cosmic Fire. Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 7A, page 1206. I guess I'm doing shorter programs right now, and it's a little bit easier with the conversion. All right, so maybe let's do the Great Invocation. I think so. I think we'll do that. And we'll use the note G. Sometimes he says it's the seventh ray note, but you know, what is the starting note of the scale? If it's A, it's understandable, but if it's C, it's not understandable. Or at least I don't understand it. Home. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. Home. All right, friends, we'll see you soon going into Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 7. See you soon.